Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
But long enough to know that I know he is the authority when it comes to Ohio State football. He is Tim May, and he is nice enough to join us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We're playing your song, my man.
It's beautiful. That's beautiful music. And you know why that touches me more than just the beautiful lyrics and stuff, right? I've told you that story.
Tell everyone, my friend. Tell them one more time on this glorious Friday.
We were in Nashville back in 1981 having a glorious weekend. And me and four of my buddies, it literally, like I've told you, it could be the Hangover movie, except it's better and it was real. And we ended up going home with Jerry Reed's lead guitar player's girlfriend. Not that anything bad happened, but she had her last night at the Black Poodle down on Printer's Alley. I think is what it's called, Printer's Alley. And we helped her move all her stuff back to her apartment.
What a gentleman!
And now look, hey, now everybody's feverishly on Google going, Black Poodle, what's that?
I'm just wondering, I hope I'm not getting in trouble for the story that you're telling that I don't know that's going right over my head. So we're in good shape with that. But now.
Yeah, we are, because I didn't say anything bad.
Okay, well, good. I just want to make sure.
I thought he was, you know, trucking some beer across state lines or something.
Hey, but I grew up in that. Hey, I grew up in that era in Lufkin, Texas. I'm down here in Texas, in Lufkin, Texas. You couldn't buy Coors, but if you drove close enough to Dallas, you could buy Coors. And everybody thought Coors, you know, the champagne of, actually, it was Miller was a champagne of bottled beers, but Coors was like a, you know, a coveted thing. And that's where that movie came from, which is pretty funny because Coors had a limited distributorship way back in the early 70s.
And, we had the same thing here. Like, it came to Cincinnati in like 84, I think, 84, 85. I remember guys that were clearly of age that were driving down that might have been too old to be in high school, but yet they were still driving down to Cincinnati to get it. Well, and it was the same thing here.
It was called making a run.
Yeah.
Making a run. So, yeah, we had different people who made runs occasionally and tried to get as much as you could. But it was what it was. I was of age by then, you know, 72. I was 18. So,
oh, of course. And it was only 18 back then.
But anyway. Our county was dry. So it was pretty funny how they arranged things. Angelina County. And then you had the Angelina River, and you go across the Angelina River toward Nacogdoches. Mm-hmm. There were all these honky-tonks because it was wet. You know what I mean? So it was a strange time to be growing up.
All right, I got to get to – we can't talk about the Lufkin Mall or the Abe Martin Baseball Stadium or Rocky Springs or any of those things. But
there you go.
We do need to talk about what the atmosphere is like right there, right now, at the game. Does this feel like it's a Texas home game? Can you get – I mean,
no.
You've been to enough of these games that – you can kind of get a buzz before the game, before you even walk in.
All right, I'm not at the stadium yet, number one. I'm heading for the stadium here in about an hour.
Okay.
Number two, we're in Las Colinas, which is northwest of downtown Dallas and fairly close to Love Field. And, you know, this is just media, for the most part, media folks.
Gotcha.
I have not, and of course it snowed yesterday, which made travel hazardous. They even called off school here and stuff. Yeah, because there was a half inch of snow on the ground.
Right.
Boy, think about Cleveland if they did that.
Oh, my God. Anyway, there'd be no school ever. Everything would be homeschool. Yeah.
I don't know. I think we're kind of getting to that here in Cleveland these days.
Feels that way.
From November to March, you know, people would be out of school. That'd be your summer vacation. But anyway, you know, a huge crowd's expected, obviously. I mean, sell out. I mean, you just look at the ticket price and see the fervor for this game from the standpoint of the fans. And by the way, have you checked ticket prices yet for next week's or a week and a half from now?
No.
National championship
Hit
game.
Me. How much are they?
I understand it's high three figures, possibly low four figures already.
Wow.
And in Ohio State, I'm sure Ohio State fans are doing some pre-buying, but, you know, you never put the cart before the horse. Like, I was talking to several of the players' parents, and they made a pact among themselves. They wouldn't even consider making travel plans until after each step of this tournament. And the good thing is, though, that, you know, the NCAA now allows you to give them stipends, players' families stipends to defray the cost, if not take, if not cover all the costs. So that's good for them.
Tim, do you remember, just quickly, do you remember how silly it was where, like, Ohio State was playing in bowl games, and, like, I remember the other team, rather than flying, they would drive, but they would get to keep the cash. But then Ohio State's like, okay, well, just show up at the bowl game, and however you get there, you get there. We're going to give you the cash. Think about how silly that was.
What you were allowed to do was give them the full, what they call a full coach fare, meaning, you know, like Super Saver and all that kind of stuff. No, the full coach fare, and whatever you could get there with, then you got to keep the rest. I remember, though, Donnie Nicky going down to the Sugar Bowl. 1 year, he and I, for some reason or other, I ended up flying first class because that was the only ticket available. And
Plus, the dispatch would spend a lot of money back then, so it didn't matter.
Yeah,
so you were good then.
They still didn't like doing that, you know. But Donnie Nicky was sitting there in first class with me. He goes, all the other guys are pocketing him money. He goes, I'm flying first class. You know, I mean, he didn't need necessarily the cash, but yeah, I mean, that was how screwed up things were back then. I mean, just a great example of get a little extra. $200-$300 if you can get down there for half price. But then, of course, some guys got flights canceled when the weather would, you know, who knew the weather was going to be bad in December, right?
For sure. Oh, man. All right, give me your thoughts on this game. I mean, they've been rolling offensively. They're a team on a mission.
Yeah.
And I hate saying it, and I know maybe I said it to you last week, but that last game of the regular season may have been the best thing that ever happened to what was going on in between the ears of this entire the whole entire team.
Yeah, and I always remind people, you know, too, about that game is they missed two very makeable field goals. They had two bad interceptions by Will Howard. And it still comes down to basically the end and a field goal, you know, by Michigan, and that's how well they played on defense. But as Jim Knowles would say, they didn't play well enough to win because they didn't win, and he's right. You know, they gave up a late field goal, drive to a late field goal, but that was just watching somebody bang their head against the wall for some reason that we still haven't understood. But now, with that said, they still threw 33 passes that day, but this is a total different exercise now. I mean, you've seen the play calling. It's been, you know, I'm stammering because it's been aggressive play calling, but you still got to make the play.
Yeah,
you still got to throw the ball, and the other guy's got to catch it for it to be aggressive. As in, other than being stupid, if it doesn't work out that way. So, but what you saw in the Rose Bowl was the first play out of the gate offensively. You haven't seen that play all year, and then the third play, the underneath. Jeremiah Smith coming across the formation behind the offensive line and then popping out, as Will Howard said, you know, it in his mind, he's going, oh, my goodness, this is going to work if I just get it to him, because the Oregon defense was slow rotating, and it did. It caught him off guard. And so that's creative stuff that you know they could have been doing, 20, 30 games or 10 games ago. Mm-hmm. And it's funny is they turned Ohio State Oregon in the first half into Ohio State Purdue in the first half.
Yeah,
because it was that lopsided, and But like you said, like Ryan was talking about yesterday, you know, you can be aggressive, but you still got to make the plays. You still got to throw and catch.
How important is a fast start for the Buckeyes tonight? We've seen them do it against Tennessee. Same thing, Oregon. We've also seen Texas though with a fast start.
Well, here's the thing, as he also addressed yesterday and has addressed several times when people ask that question, you always want a fast start.
Right.
You're not sitting here going, it's not like going out there and tapping gloves with the opposition, you know, in a boxing match where you kind of feeling each other out going, boy, he's dropping his right shoulder here. I can go. Here comes my left hook next round. Yeah. It's not like that. But, I mean, last night, that was one of the more boring first halves of football.
Totally agree.
I
texted somebody at the beginning. I'm like, I'm falling asleep. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, right. I'm watching the second half. This is awesome.
Because neither one of those teams felt really comfortable about airing it out. But what did they do in the second half? They were chucking the ball all over the place. It made the big plays were in the passing game, with a few exceptions. I mean, that Jeremiah Love, that 3-yard touchdown run around left end, that's one of the great runs in bowl history or postseason history. Just the way he wheeled himself to get to the end zone with that bad right knee and stuff. I mean, it's crazy. But, you know, you still had the carrot hanging out there of the winner goes to the national championship game, and you could see them fighting for that carrot, both sides. And it drew out a pass on the end. I always thought, you know, I was doing shows like this all through the week. I've always said that I wasn't convinced Drew Aller, never been convinced Drew Aller can win that big game for you. There's a mistake coming one form or fashion. It's not ripping on him. It's just basically looking at his history against credible, good teams. And but I thought that I didn't, you know, the way he described it afterwards, but he was trying to throw it into the ground, you know. Man, I'm not sure about that explanation, but he got hit just as he was throwing the ball in the, you know, just that barely rotation.
Yeah.
Took it out of play because I thought the receiver made a great move back toward him if you watch the play. I didn't think it was throwing back over the middle like this sin that everybody's talking about, because really the guy you got to worry about from that is the guy underneath coming into play. And there was the guy underneath was way out of position for that. So,
Tim,
I didn't think it was a bad choice. I just think it was bad execution. Yeah. But that's what happens.
Much like the Michigan game, I think Drew Aller, if he is a successful quarterback and gets to move on to the NFL, yeah, I think last night might be a really good thing for him. Because, first of all, I think anyone that's watched him, and I think you'll agree with this, he needed another year at Penn State. And so now you've got all this hype over the last couple of weeks saying, oh, well, maybe he could be the first quarterback drafted, blah, 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 blah. But I would hear that, and I'd be like, I don't care if you think he's going in the first round. He still looks like he needs another year. Like, to me, it was almost a DeShone Kizer kind of thing where, like, if he comes out early because he got drafted, I have visions of him going, you know what, he could have used another year. Drew Aller needs another year at Penn State. And maybe just throwing that interception next year will benefit the Nittany Lions tenfold next year and put him in a position to grow and learn. Let's face it, he's still a young quarterback.
Yeah, but I mean, we've watched 2 years of kind of this same kind of situation, you know, with him. And so sometimes people reach their level and don't go above it. And in the National Football League, they thought they had a test where you could test this with C.J. Stroud and Bryce and the kid from Alabama, the quarterback, went to Carolina first. What's his name? Bryce. Anyway, they thought they had a test, and then we found out that test was totally bogus. Yeah. And you're always trying to figure out who can assimilate information as quickly as possible and turn it into something. And that's always been the quest. I know people have worked on trying to get a simulator for that, an actual football simulator for that, and because it's worth it in the long run, no matter how much money it takes to develop it, to know that in crunch time, this guy's going to be more like Tom Brady, you know, than Tom Underwood. I'll just make up a name. Or Deshaun Watson.
or Bryce Young. It's good. We'll get all the names right on this one. Let me throw this one at you. Marcus Freeman takes Notre Dame to the national championship. I mean, you know Marcus Freeman. I've covered him, you know, with you at Ohio State. We've seen Marcus Freeman numerous times. And I got to tell you, I'm super happy for him. I really am. And to watch him, you know, be able to organize a team that I'm sure that the Wolves were circling on him in the beginning of the season too. And I thought it was interesting when they said at the end of the game, he makes Notre Dame likable. And I don't, you know him, don't you? Yeah. I agree with that. I totally agree with that.
Well, I agree with that 100%, you know, and there's so much pie flying right now in the sky. You're going to get hit by one of these cream pies because, you know, Brian Kelly left there so he could win a national championship, you know, at LSU. And
right.
Blah, 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 right on down the line and stuff. But, you know, the interesting thing is they mentioned he was the first African-American. He's actually the first Asian African-American, you know, because his mom's
Korean,
from Korea.
Yeah.
So you just leave that out conveniently, but it is what it is, right? But he's also the first coach, I do believe, to reach the college football playoff national championship game who used to call me Mr. May. So that back when he was an early player, you know, I'd always say, just call me Tim, you know. But that's the kind of person he is, man. You look at his family. He's got 6 kids and he loves them all, you know, like he loved the first one. And right on down the line, he's just a different dude. you know, a lot of us thought it was premature, him getting his first head coaching job at Notre Dame, right?
Right.
Yeah.
It seemed early, but, didn't
know,
it?
Ryan Day got his first head coaching job at Ohio State, right? And
yeah.
He's a possibly game away from being in that same game in, on January 20th. But yeah, Marcus just, you know, you even though Ohio State won, and it was a big win for Ohio State last year at Notre Dame with that last, well, it was supposed to be, it should have been the last play, but the clock had 1 second left or whatever it was. You felt for Marcus because they didn't just lose the game. They lost the game because they had 10 men on the field,
yeah.
You know, on defense, two straight plays. And so how does that happen? You know, that's what you've got to explain that. And then this year, you got to explain, wait a minute. You're saying Northern Illinois beat you? What? At Notre Dame Stadium? What? You know what I mean?
Yes.
That's that team has come from the depths. I don't think you can feel much worse than suffering an upset like that at home. And so his coaching job he's done since that moment is laudable. And proved, obviously, they proved in three games now they belonged in the college football playoff, even though there were even people doubting it because of that, of all things, that Northern Illinois loss. So, you know, too bad for those folks who, you know, have their own drum to beat and don't want to admit it. But good for him. I mean, he's one of the great individuals you're ever going to run into.
Yes, he is.
Especially in this profession.
Agreed. Tim, please, you sound like you're a little under the weather. I want you to have a little bit of tea before you go to the game.
I sound like that all the time now. I've got a buddy of mine who we're always screaming at each other, you know, because he's hard of hearing.
To out Dom Tabari on our air in Cleveland.
No, this is my buddy Jeff Snook. But I like to say like 38-27 tonight to get to the brass tacks of it all.
38-27. Tim May, I can't wait to talk to you next week about the Buckeyes. We're going to do that. I know we are. So thank
you. One way or the other, right?
One way or the other, my friend.
All
Tim,
right,
enjoy
man.
The game
eastbound
tonight.
Down.
All right, we'll talk
tonight,
to you.
I'll be eastbound and down.
Well, Peace I'll be listening for your questions in the postgame. Thank you, Tim.
Thanks, man.
All right,
bye.
Talk to you soon. Tim May, the great Tim May, is awesome. Letterman Row, make sure you're checking him out there. He's also got the Tim May podcast.
It's a little more than just a setback. Yes, it's probably his Browns career ender, so there you go.
Yes, I don't know. I just have that feeling.
I kind of thought we were there anyway, right? Another Deshaun Watson season away, right?
Yes.
Because this is three straight years he is unavailable to the Cleveland Browns to play the majority of the games. He has missed, I did the quick math, he's already missed 32 games in three seasons due to injury and or suspension. And I guess we're just going to go ahead and put 17 on that. So that would be 49 games in 4 years.
Oh, man. All right, I'm going to take a phone call here. Then you've been talking about it. Apparently you ran into one of my relatives last night at the Cavs game.
Sources can confirm, yes.
You've been photographic
evidence.
Well, you've been dangling this thing in front of me forever, and you won't tell me what it is. So I've been sitting here for almost 3 hours wondering what you're going to talk about. So.
We got a little busy.
All right, we'll do that. I also want to go through the NFL playoffs, too. Walt and Burton. Hi, Walt. How are you?
Doing well. How about you guys?
We're hanging in, getting ready for some more football. Looking forward to Ohio State tonight, Ohio State, Texas.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, before I go on to what I want to talk about, go Buckeyes.
There you go. Go Bucks. OH.
OH.
I'll okay. Here's I've been in the insurance business for like 45 years. Okay.
Okay.
And when I saw that watch that ripped his Achilles, I did a little bit of research. Okay. Of course, you got to realize the teams when you have that kind of a contract, they're always going to try to get some kind of disability clause on that. And the disability clause, from what I saw as I did research for Watson, was if he misses the 2025 season, they're going to get salary relief in the form of an insurance payment.
Right.
Now, what that does to the cap, I have no idea.
They'll get a little rebate. They'll get a little rebate from the league, too.
Will they? Okay.
But it's not going to be the full $72 million. Like, that's the thing. Like, people have to understand, like, it's not going to be much.
I don't have access to the policy itself.
Right.
But there's going to be some kind of relief there.
It's one of those Lloyd's of London one, right? One of those kind of policies.
Probably.
Selling fear since 1688, Lloyd's of London, correct?
There you go.
All right. Well, thank you.
I just wanted to toss that in there. And once again, go Buckeyes.
All right, go Bucks. Thank you, Walt.
Take care. Bye.
Walt and Burton. All right, go ahead. Spill the tea. I want to hear this.
So,
first of all, he sends me a picture last night. So this part I do know.
Yes. So, sit at the Cavs game, and gentleman ends up sitting between myself and Bob Finan. He was a former roommate of Bob Finan.
Yes.
And so, and then he leans over and he says, "Hey, you know Andy Baskin, don't you?" I go, "Yeah, I'm pretty sure I do. I do a podcast with him. I work with him."
Were you snarky about it?
Oh, of course I was.
You couldn't have been like, "Yeah, I know Andy's a good guy."
Oh, no.
He's a jerk. I was
totally snarky because, I mean, what would you expect from me?
Yeah, but then you probably dropped your snarkiness when he told you the relationship, right?
No, well, so then so we take a picture and I send it to you.
Yes.
Now, I can't...
You can't read that.
I can't read what I texted you.
No, I know what you said.
I just very politely asked you who the gentleman was. Let's just put it that way.
Yes.
And so, turns out it's your brother-in-law.
It's my brother-in-law, yes. And it's the reason why I know everything about Tuscarora County, yes.
So, he told me the story about how you basically ruined your sister's wedding.
I did not ruin my sister's wedding.
Well, you definitely...
It's his wedding, too.
Right. And he holds this against you that you ruined their wedding. Ruined their wedding photos because you went out and had to go play ice hockey and you got hurt.
Okay, first of all, can I lay down the foundation? My sister is 10 years older than I am, okay? And so he's 11 years old. This is my brother-in-law we're talking about, who I love to death, right?
I don't know if the feeling's mutual, by the way.
Here's the deal. Of course he loves me. It's not a big deal, right? They got married on Saturday, right? And
first of all, how do you go play hockey on your sister's wedding day?
Dude, first of all, my mom is still mad at me about it. I know my sister is a little, but God bless my father. I love my father, and I will always love my father, and I think about my father.
He's the only one that was in your corner on this, right?
He was 100% in my corner.
He was the only one that turns off the wedding, number lock.
The wedding was like at 6 o'clock at night on a Saturday, okay? The game was at 10 o'clock in the morning. I was like 12 or 13. And it wasn't just any game. It was the championship game.
Okay.
Okay? Game. And by the way, in my, I don't know how many years I play hockey, probably 20, to less than 20.
Uh-huh.
It's the only hat trick I've ever had. In that championship game, okay?
Here's the key question, though.
Okay, the problem is what happened in said championship game.
Here's the key question.
Yes.
Setting aside the hat trick, congratulations to you.
Thank you. I can't remember if we won the game or not.
A starter or were you a bench player?
It was like Pee Wees. Everybody played.
Like you were a star.
I don't know that I was a star. I was never a star. The only thing I was a star at is splinter removal when I got older in my career.
So the hat trick, what you're saying, was a rare fluke.
Yeah, no, because I play defense. Defensemen don't get hat tricks. Okay. They just don't. You know, right. I mean, there are some that do, but I just like, that's not me.
Just
never was me.
Just
want
to paint the full picture of the circumstances of you.
So the problem
failing
was,
on your brother's wedding early.
The problem was I may have suffered a concussion at 10 o'clock in the morning, and my sister was getting a little bit married, was getting married later. I think I might have been in Bantams.
Wait a minute. This is explaining a lot because I think you still have the concussion.
Oh, of course I have that. Why do you think I say so much about concussion and concussion protocol and understand it and get it and like have to watch these videos from, the National High School Federation to be able to coach to understand that coaches can be held liable if they put a kid back out on the ice or anywhere else if they've got a concussion? You know, it's like, and then you put yourself in the position of being a coach and a parent at the same time, and it's just like, it's tough, right?
So I have asked.
So my point is, you did not get a picture from the wedding.
I
look like you. Yes, did you get it?
I have requested. I put in a request for photo.
Did you? I look like a goon.
I haven't.
So the concussion was so bad. My neck was really sore, and I don't know if you've ever had the feeling before. But if you have no control over the back of your neck and the muscles, your head's either back or forwards. That's it.
Yeah.
And I remember. And then the other problem, and my mom might still be mad. And my dad's been gone for, how long has he been gone? Too long. Eight to 10 years maybe already. And so my mom's still mad because when we got to the temple for the wedding, I may have lost my lunch at the venue. Because I was out of it. Like, I barely knew I was there. So I look like in their wedding pictures, and I apologize to my sister for this, okay? I'm publicly, who else gets a public apology? So I'm apologizing to my sister.
For ruining her wedding day photos.
I mean, my family's so neurotic, and I know you can't believe that, all over the place.
I know, I'm shocked.
But, you know, I apologize for having a concussion, but I would trade that concussion for a hat trick any day of the week.
Oh, wow! I thought you were going to say you'd trade the concussion for better.
I feel bad. I mean, I always felt bad.
You ruined their wedding photos,
I did not.
Man.
Oh, it's a couple pictures. Just maybe I'll go back and they can airbrush me out of them now if they want to. They've been married.
Who's to say they haven't?
40 years, probably. I think they've been married that long. Man. So.
What a bad brother
you
are.
So did you get a picture?
No, I've not gotten a picture.
I was in my teens.
But what a bad brother.
Tell me my dad's not the father of the year for letting me play in the morning because my mom is still mad about it.
Yeah, and I want to know how long your dad got the silent treatment from her after that. How many weeks, months, and years?
Anybody that knows my mom or knew my dad knows there's no such thing as the silent treatment in my house. If there is a word to be spoken, positive or negative, the silent treatment does not exist. The neuroticism comes from that.
Yeah. So,
all right. Do you feel better for outing me now?
I do. And I feel even more better because you revealed that you selfishly put yourself out there so you could get your hat trick. And on
scored
top
three
of it,
that day, man.
And on top of it, you lost your lunch at the wedding too. Like, come on, like, just what a sloppy mess.
If I can't be honest with all of you, then who can I be honest with?
But you know what? I respect the honesty, and I respect you giving your sister and your brother-in-law an apology for ruining their wedding photos.
Yeah, it only took 30 plus years.
But now, after you have described this to me, I absolutely need to see these photos now.
Oh, they're brutal. I look like a goon. I totally look like a goon.
Was your hair combed at least?
Yeah, but okay. I had like they were kind of cool glasses in the 80s.
Were you
in
a tux?
Was I in a tux?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Oh, I got to see
you think
these
I showed
photos.
Up in ripped up jeans at my sister's wedding?
Well, you had a concussion.
They would have been more mad about that than anything else. So, all right. Now you know enough about
It totally explains the resentment I felt last night at the game.
Most people have like these family trees, and people talk about how their family tree is so strong. Ours is weeds. 216-474-0092. Talking NFL playoffs next. Baskin and Phelps with Darryl Ryder.